In the past 2 weeks, I've gotten dozens of letters from worried radio listeners and readers at my birder blog asking me about bird flu. Some are concerned about getting the disease from birds at their feeders, but just about all are concerned about the birds themselves, since this disease is so lethal to them as well as to us. I wish I could say that everything's cool, don't worry. And overall, the more we learn about bird flu, the less likely it appears that we'll have a pandemic. Authorities have said over and over that that would be possible only if the disease mutates to be able to be spread from human to human. But researchers published 2 papers last week in Science and Nature, which explain both why the disease is so lethal to humans and why that very mechanism makes it unlikely that it can evolve to a form transmissible between humans. Apparently, the tissue the virus affects in us is very deep in the lungs, where it can do tremendous damage. For that very reason, it's difficult for the virus to be coughed out the way viruses that attach in the upper respiratory system do. Only if it mutates both to be transmissible between humans and to attach in the upper respiratory system will we face a pandemic. Yet if the disease mutates to attach higher, it won't be so lethal. That doesn't mean we don't need to worry. I'm frustrated that when the disease was first discovered, developed nations didn't immediately provide massive aid to the countries where the disease was first found to help them clean up their agricultural practices. The disease was first discovered and probably first evolved on overcrowded, unsanitary poultry farms. Indeed, every person who has contracted the disease that I know of got it directly from infected chickens. Wild birds that have tested positive for it have all been waterfowl or birds of prey, and again, the first victims almost assuredly also contracted the disease from infected chickens and from their droppings and carcass parts left on fields as fertilizer or running off the farms into natural waterways. Now that it's in wild birds, we humans are going to be killing and testing millions, and billions more may die from the disease itself. But even in wild birds, the virus first spread not along migratory bird routes, but along human trade routes. Poultry farming is now such a mechanized, industrialized process that some farms specialize in egg production, while others raise birds not from eggs but from chicks, and many send live birds to be butchered elsewhere. Worldwide trade in both eggs and chicks is huge, and there are no clear rules about disposal of birds that die in transit. It's not surprising that the spread of the disease in poultry, humans, and wild birds has followed human trade routes rather than migratory bird flyways. So far, all the birds that have tested positive have been in Southeast Asia through Northern Europe. The big fear is that now that more wild birds have contracted it, they'll carry it along migration routes. The disease is expected to reach North America from Siberia this spring as some ducks, sandhill cranes, geese, and shorebirds cross during their migrations. It won't be for at least a year or two that our backyard songbirds will be exposed, and when they start getting sick from it, taking the same precautions we use when our feeder birds die of any other sickness will protect us. In other words, whenever you find a dead bird from unknown causes, pick it up with your hand inside a plastic bag, turn the bag inside out and seal it, and then double bag it and throw it out or freeze it for testing. The one potentially serious damage to us directly from wild birds will be to hunters if the disease gets into our waterfowl and other game birds, since hunters pluck and handle the parts of birds that can transmit the disease to them the same way poultry workers have gotten the disease. Long ago, when our nation was facing other serious problems, a wise and capable president told us that the only thing we had to fear was fear itself. He wasn't dismissing the problems we were facing then. He was saying that by remaining calm and thinking things through, we'd come up with real solutions and be able to make them work. Panic and terror alerts only lead to more problems, the way our panic about swine flu during the Ford administration led to permanent blindness and other serious disabilities in thousands of Americans who were given a badly designed vaccination, too hurriedly developed. What separates us from animals is supposed to be the part of our brain that can reason through and solve problems. Let's start using it to develop sound vaccinations and far more sanitary poultry farming and shipping practices while there's still time. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.